Hello, welcome back to the latest episode of Coach Anya Below the Bear podcast. So apologies that this one is actually up a daily. So I did explain on my story on my coaching Instagram page that I was on holiday. So I was originally supposed to be back on a Monday and I didn't get back till the Wednesday because due to the UK airspace traffic control ABCDEFG issue, our flight was cancelled. So yeah, we were sitting in reception in the hotel, ready to go home. It was like 7:15 in the evening. We were leaving for the airport at 8. Flight was at 10:30, and you know, everyone was kind of sending me text messages being like, oh, this person's flight was cancelled, keep an eye on your one. And I was like, no, it's still scheduled to go ahead. And then bang, 7:15, flight cancelled. We ended up having to search for alternative flights, and I was in Ibiza. So the shit thing about Ryanair and Ibiza is I think they only fly in and out of Dublin two times a week. So we couldn't get any direct flights home on the Wednesday, which Wednesday is one of the days that they fly back to Dublin. That was sold out, and the next available flight was until the weekend, and we just wanted to get the fuck out of there because, you know, money was running low. We were already after spending enough cash on holiday. We just wanted to get home. So we had to opt for a connecting flight. So Ryanair were basically, they were going to pay for our flights, but because we had to get a connecting flight, they were only going to pay for one of those. So we went with the most expensive route for them to pay for. So we had to go to Skyscanner, fly from Ibiza to Santander. We were searching for so many other routes, easier routes, and to get home sooner, but they were all sold out. Thousands of other people were in the same boat and everyone was just booking the nearest flight, etc. So we ended up having to fly from Ibiza to Santander 2 days later, and Santander to Dublin. Yeah, so home, housed, and just delighted to be back in Dublin, back to reality, back to a routine. So yeah, usually the podcast up on a Wednesday, but this week it's up on a Thursday. So don't worry, it's not going to be one of those podcasts that's very sporadic. So I will always try to keep to a Wednesday. So on that note, this podcast is basically, I am in a calorie deficit and I went abroad for a few days. Well, what I thought was going to be a few days ended up nearly being a week. So I'm in a calorie deficit and I went abroad. And one of the things that a lot of people say is, oh, I'll start after my holiday. But I'm here to do this podcast today to tell you that you can still lose body fat while going abroad. Like, it doesn't have to wait till after a holiday or after a special occasion, because a lot of people will say that, oh, I'll start after the wedding, I'll start after my birthday, I'll start after the holiday, etc. There is no perfect time to start a calorie deficit. So for example, I run an 8-week challenge at the moment, and loads of my clients, if they're listening, are either going away during it or they're just back from a holiday and they're still, you know, proceeding as usual. And when they get back, like, it's still possible to go away. Like, it's a lifestyle. Holidays are going to pop up. Special occasions are going to pop up. There's no perfect time to start. So you're better off just starting now and learning how to navigate around those occasions, around holidays, etc., rather than avoid them or be afraid of them, because, you know, it's part of life. It's part of life going on holidays and making memories. Like, you can't be in tune with your diet 24/7. Like, there has to be some give. We have to make memories. So, for example, I'm going to just cover a couple of things before we actually get to how to, I suppose, stay moderately on track while you're on holiday. So let's say, for example, you sign up for a 12-week fat loss phase with a coach, and on week 3 you're going on holiday. So you decide to sign up now, even though you're going on holiday, you just want to get started. So for example, I remember when I signed up with my coach first nearly 2 years ago, I signed up with him and I was going to New York a week later for a week, and it was during Paddy's Day, so there was a lot of drink involved, etc. But I just wanted to sign up, and I knew that when I came home then I would hit the ground running and I'd finally hit the nail on the head. So I didn't want to wait till I got home. So I was just kind of mindful over there. But anyway, so let's say you sign up for a 12-week fat loss phase with a coach and your holiday is on week 3. And the first thing you're going to think, if you're not used to this kind of lifestyle, or if you're still stuck in that mindset of, oh, it's just a 12-week window and then I can go back to old habits once I'm finished, you're going to start thinking, I've ruined everything when you come home. I've undone all my progress. What's the point? I'll just go back to old habits. It's been 3 weeks. You haven't ruined anything. What progress? It's literally been 3 weeks. Like, the most you could have lost in 3 weeks is probably 2 to 3 pounds. Like, that would not even be noticeable in the mirror. You wouldn't even notice that. And what are you going to do? Go around telling everybody how much you weigh or how much you've gained? Nobody walks around holding a weighing scales above their head, because the world would be a very weird place if people did do that. And also, it's probably, we'll get to that anyway, but it's probably just watery. So what happens then is, even if it's been 3 months, if it's been 3 months and you've gone away, you've gone on holiday for a week and you think, oh, I've undone all my progress, you haven't. That's literally like, you know, eating shit for 3 months and thinking 1 week off plan is going to ruin your progress, or 1 week on plan, I should say, sorry, is going to, you know, gain progress. It's not. Eating shit for 3 months, then eating well for 1 week. Like, you have to flip the table sometimes and think of it from that point of view. So you are in control as well. Like, when you go on holiday, you know, when you come home and you think, oh, I've ruined everything. Like, you are in control when you're on that holiday. It's up to you if you want to skull 12 pints of cider a day, a pizza for breakfast, lunch and dinner, and 2 cans of Pringles. Like, that's totally up to you to do that. So when you come home and you're beating yourself up, like, nobody forced that food down your throat. Like, you chose to eat like that. So if you are worried about undoing your progress, go there with an open mind and just be mindful. Just be mindful. Just go and make mindful decisions. I'll get to that now in a second. But, you know, it's totally up to you to spend your holiday like that. And whatever way you eat does not dictate whether it's going to be a fun holiday or not. Like, if you want to be mindful and, you know, pick the high protein options at meal times, etc., try to get your steps in, that's up to you. If you really want to stay on track and really want to look after yourself and don't want to jeopardize results, which you won't, it's literally 1 week out of 52, and when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, and it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time, it's not going to ruin your progress. But if you do want to look after yourself, that's totally okay as well. But again, there's no point coming home and beating yourself up if you chose to skull 12 pints of cider and pizza for breakfast, lunch and dinner when you didn't have to eat like that. There's no rule book that says you have to eat like that to have a good holiday. Like, there's not. I'll always remember when I went to Orlando back in March this year, 2023. I went for 2 weeks and I was just off the back of doing a photo shoot. So, like, I was really, really disciplined, like, had a really, really rigid diet. And I was looking forward to going away and having a couple of meals that, you know, I couldn't really have for like 9 weeks. And after like the tour day, I was like, I'm actually sick of eating shit. Like, eat shit, feel shit. It's so true. I couldn't wait to get home and get back into a routine. Like, even just after being away there for, you know, 5-6 days, I just don't enjoy eating shit anymore. Yes, it's nice in moderation, but I really do believe eat shit, feel shit. Like, I love eating whole foods now and enjoying like the fun foods in moderation, because it just makes me feel so much better. And, you know, I shouldn't have to flip a light switch every time I go away and think, okay, now I'm going to eat shit every day for a week. Like, that's just not the way a holiday works. I don't think that's a holiday. Anyway, a holiday is relaxing, turning off from reality, forgetting about your job, enjoying the sun, sunbathing, you know, having a couple of drinks, etc. Just winding down and letting loose a bit and having the pool and the heat and everything. It's just sunlight. Just, you never hear of anyone living in a hot country and being in a bad mood. Well, I haven't. I don't know. But like, it's just, that's a holiday to me. Like, a holiday, what's not a holiday to me is going away and just eating shit 24/7. Like, you know, it's, like, for instance, I think there's this mindset that people have as well. It's one of the approaches that people take too when they want to lose body fat. When they go on holiday, when they book a coach to lose weight for a holiday, to lose body fat for a holiday. So let's say it's 12 weeks beforehand. And they go on holiday, they enjoy themselves, they let their hair down, and then they come back. They forget about everything they've done the last 12 weeks, you know, build up really, really good habits of food, put proper nutrition into their body, exercise, walk every day. Like, basically what you're doing is you're saying to your body, here's everything you deserve. Here I am looking after you, like treating you the way I'm supposed to treat you. And then you come home from holiday and you go back to treating it like shit. Like, that's exactly what it's like. So why not lose body fat or stay in shape or get fit? Just to stay in shape and get fit, not because there's a holiday. Like, lose weight to lose weight, not just because there's a holiday. Because, you know, you're only going to go on holiday like 1-2, I don't know how much holidays you have, or how rich you are, or how much of a privileged position you're in to be able to go traveling all the time. But, like, you know, you shouldn't just treat your body like a temple if there's a holiday coming up and then you come home and then you go back to treating it like shit. Honestly, it's just, it's a lifestyle. It really is. And to be able to navigate around these things, like special occasions and holidays, and still come home and treat your body well. Like, you've built up 12 weeks of good habits, treating your body like a temple. Why do you have to come home and neglect it again? Like, just carry on as normal. Keep up with your steps. Keep up with the gym. It just makes sense to me, to be honest. It's literally like giving your body a holiday for 12 weeks. And then coming home and treating it like shit again. It's just like giving your body all these nice things and then just taking it away, because your body is a temple. You have to live in it for the rest of your life. And while you're, you know, while you're young, you think that you can neglect it and get away with it, but it will catch up on you. It will catch up on you 100%. I mean, I look at my mom, like, let's be honest, like, you know, let's go back decades here. Our parents weren't brought up in a society, because there wasn't as much information around. People weren't educated enough. They were brought up in a society and, you know, kind of rubbed off on us a bit as well. Like anyone who grew up in the 90s or the early noughties, you know, dinners that we used to get, like waffles, beans and fish fingers, where is the nutrition in that? Or, you know, there'd be like 2 grams of protein on the plate. Like everything else would just be carbs. Like it's, we grew up on a diet of carbs. And, you know, now that I'm in a position where I'm so much more educated on food, I know what my kids, you know, I'm not going to have them going to the gym 5 days a week when they're 6 years of age. But like, I am going to be so much more educated when it comes to food and make sure that they're, and I'll make sure that they're getting proper nutrition now on their plate, because I know the benefits of it, because I'm 40 now and I'm probably like practicing this lifestyle at probably about 3 or 4 years, and I already can feel the benefits. But your body is a temple and it will catch up on you if you keep neglecting it. You think you're getting away with it, but when you get to like 50, 60, it's going to hit you like a brick wall. Like I said, I look at my mother now and, you know, she smokes, she drinks tea, probably about 20 cups of tea a day, probably smokes about 40 a day, lives on a diet of biscuits. Like it's, and she's always sick. There's always something wrong with her. Like, you know, I see her walking up the stairs, how out of breath she is and stuff. Little things like that. Like they, you think you're getting away with it when you're young, because you're young, like your body's kind of still moderately in a well, I suppose, good position. But when you get older, it will deteriorate faster than someone who is fit and healthy, you know, because don't exercise because of a holiday. Don't eat well because of a holiday. Do it to provide longevity with your life, to be fitter when you're older, like not to have someone help you go to the toilet. There's so much more to exercise and nutrition than just fat loss. Because I know when I'm older, I don't want someone like helping me wipe my arse. Like I don't. I want to be able to be 8 years of age and still be able to do that for myself. And I know if I keep up this lifestyle, I will be able to do that. I don't want a hand walking up the stairs. I want to be able to still carry shopping bags from the shopping centre to the car until I'm old as possible. Like I'm doing this now to prolong my life, to be fitter, to be stronger when I'm that age, when I'm 70 or 80. Like I want to avoid help as much as possible. And you know, I'm putting in the groundwork now, but there's a lot of people that aren't putting in the groundwork, and it's going to catch up with them way quicker than it will with me or anyone else who has a fit and healthy lifestyle. Like you think it's great, you know, shoving 4 bags of meanies down your gob, or you know, living on a diet of Haribo, and you're getting away with it now, but it will catch up on you. Seriously, don't do it for fat loss alone, do it for your health in 30 or 40 years time. Because I remember there was a couple of programs, you know, like Channel 4 always do those programs like 24 hours in A&E or whatever, or emergency room, like, and you just have like one character or two characters, like it shows their story. And there was this one guy, I think he was young enough, he was about 20, 21, and he was a football player. I think he was in a really, really good league, like he was an athlete, he'd done it for a living. And he was in a car accident and he woke up from his coma, and the doctors were saying, look, you're never going to be able to play football again. However, I think he was going to be on a walking frame, or you have to use a walking stick for the rest of his life. But they said, however, because you were an athlete, you could have been paralysed from the legs down. You would have never walked again. You would have had to been in a wheelchair. But because you are an athlete and you're strong and you're fit and you're healthy, it's the only reason you're alive, and it's the only reason that you won't be in a wheelchair. So when you hear things like that as well, there's actually another case that I was reading. I actually searched it for this podcast alone, of a girl who had MS. And I'm just going to get it up here now, and I'm going to read how exercise and nutrition basically transformed our life. So I'm just going to read it out. So my family and friends tease me about how much I love food, but the truth is I credit food, nutrition and fitness with saving my life, literally. When I was 15, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. From that moment on, my life revolved around doctor's appointments, medications, needles and MRIs. By the time I was 19, I had gone through 3 relapses and used a cane more than I would like to remember. For me, the medications were not effective enough. My MRIs were constantly getting worse. I was in pain and needing a cane to walk, and I was taking 3 Ryaltrin a day just to get through my university classes. just in case college isn't challenging enough. When I was 19, I was taking my first nutrition class as part of my health science degree, and it sparked something within me. I couldn't get rid of my MS diagnosis, but there were two things I could control: my fitness and my food. My goal became to create the strongest base possible. I knew that the stronger and more prepared I was physically, the faster I could recover from my relapses. 1 year later, my strongest base possible theory was tested. My MS attacked my legs for the second time. Yes, I did need the cane again, but my relapse recovery time went from 6 months to 3 weeks. Okay, there you go. There's another benefit. I can also tell you that I was happily off the, like, I can't pronounce this medication name, Ritalin or Ritalin, and no longer in pain. This was confirmation I needed. I was on the right track. Over the next 10 years, I completed 2 university degrees and a holistic nutrition program in my journey to learn everything I could about treating my own disease. How could I make my base even stronger? What diet or workout wellness secret would put me in the best position to bounce back from my relapses? What small changes could I make to slow the progression? Last summer, I underwent a treatment called hematopoietic, I can't pronounce that word, stem cell transplantation, or HSCT. Essentially, my existing immune system was wiped out with 11 rounds of chemo in 8 days before receiving 100 million of my own stem cells back. Think of it like a hard reset to my entire immune system. After the transplant, my doctors called my recovery miraculous. I recovered faster than they had seen anyone recover from a transplant. I was back in the gym in under 3 weeks and back to work in 6 weeks. Originally, my neurologist told me to anticipate being sick for the next 6 months to a year. This is the interesting part. They said I recovered so quickly because of how healthy and strong my base was, in brackets, body, was going into the transplant. So she was so much stronger and healthier going into the transplant. That's how she recovered so quickly. I believe in wellness. I believe in the healing power of food. I believe in the idea of a strong base. I spent the 8 years prior to my transplant preparing my body for battle, and when the time came, I won the war. My MS is now dormant. My MRIs show no inflammation, and for the first time in 13 years, I am symptom free. Right now, I am healthier than I ever remember being. Through my nutrition and wellness journey, I have tried just about every diet under the sun. The main thing I have learned is that there is no one-size-fits-all solution, which there's not. There is a way of eating that is right for each person, and it is my job, my passion, to help people find it. Whether you are battling an autoimmune disease or simply trying to fuel your system for a better life, I can help you. So she's a dietitian now as well. I'm not joking when I say fitness and nutrition saved my life. 14 years into my diagnosis, I am still a long distance runner, boxer and crush camp fanatic. So that's basically a prime example of how health and fitness, good nutrition, can transform your body. Because let's look at it this way, okay? When you are fighting for your life in ICU, God forbid you never have to do that, okay? I'm sure we all had a family member that had to do it, and it's not nice. I lost my uncle in ICU through COVID, actually, and it was just horrible. But when you're fighting for your life in ICU, it's the strength of your heart, your healthy arteries, and your strong immune system. That's what gets you through. That's what's fighting for you. That's what's fighting to keep you alive. Machines and medication can only do so much, but your body that you've neglected for years, you're counting on that to save you, to keep you alive when you've neglected it for years. Like, it's a slim chance. It really is. So that's why, other than fat loss, you should take care of your body and exercise and put good food into it. Am I saying living like a monk? Absolutely not. Sure, I'm only back from Ibiza. I'm only back from like being in Ibiza for 5 days. But it matters what we do most of the time and not some of the time. And I know some people are going to be like, oh, but that's a boring life. Well, when you're in ICU fighting for your life, let's see how fun it was to just constantly be neglecting your body, to not care what you put into it, and to just never move. That's going to be the boring part, is it? So that's the way I value my body now. It used to be for fat loss, but then when I actually seen the benefits other than fat loss, I stuck to it. I can't remember the last time I was sick. I cannot remember for the life of me the last time I was sick. And it's not because, you know, I wear rubber gloves every day and wear a mask, and I'm not, my immune system is so much stronger because of the food I put into it on a daily basis. And, you know, we can have fun foods in moderation, and we can still drink alcohol in moderation, but it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. I often get DMs off people who say, will you stop pushing exercise and fat loss on people? First of all, if you follow my page, you're obviously wanting to drop body fat, and that's why you follow me. And there's plenty of other things that I post other than fat loss on my page. Like, it is a whole mindset thing as well. Making you believe in yourself, like, that's a big approach I like to take, is that you are capable of achieving anything, even if it's not fat loss. But give me one argument as to why someone shouldn't exercise. Give me the downsides of exercise and good nutrition, because there's none. Like, would you rather me promote just fast food constantly on the page? You know, I just think that we can still enjoy fast food in moderation. We can still enjoy chocolate, crisps, jellies, alcohol. But it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. If 80% of the time we're putting shit into our body and 20% of the time we're putting good food in, yeah, you're not going to get results and you're probably not going to be really that healthy. But if 80% of the time we are looking after ourselves and we are walking and we're moving and, you know, we're in the gym and we're putting good food into our body, and 20% of the time we're enjoying fun foods, yeah, you are going to be healthy. You're going to be a healthy person. Like, it's all about balance. But again, I'm not saying you have to live like a monk, all right? So moving on. So that's my rant about why you should exercise rather than why you should exercise for more than fat loss. There should be other reasons other than fat loss why you should be in the gym or why you should be eating better. Like, it's not just all about fat loss. It's not. That's one of the byproducts of moving more and eating healthy. But, you know, for the longevity and in the long term, eating well and exercising has so many more benefits. And like I said, when you're on your deathbed or in ICU fighting for your life, that's when all this is going to come to help you. You've created a really, really strong vessel. You've created a really, really strong body, and it's going to fight so much harder than someone who neglects their body. So let's get to the main point of the podcast. So when on holidays, how can you stay on track? If you are in a calorie deficit, you're in a 12-week fat loss phase, how can you create, I suppose, a good foundation to still moderately track? I wouldn't track on holidays, to be honest. It's actually impossible. But to eat mindfully and, you know, kind of still keep up good habits. So there's two types of holidays, all right? There's the holiday that you come on with your mates, like a hen party, like, or a girl's trip where you do nothing but drink alcohol and eat shit for the week or even a weekend. And let's be honest, it's going to be hard to try stay on track with this. You can hear the ice cream man in the background. It's going to be hard to try stay on track when you're with a gang of girls and all you're doing is eating and drinking all week or even for a long weekend. So what I would say is just try stick to the low calorie drinks, all right? Try limit excessive snacking. Like, you know, living on a tub of Pringles a day isn't probably the best choice, but, you know, you can have some crisps, and, you know, you're probably going to only have one meal out a day, if even. And just make a mindful choice, like a high protein option, and yeah, just try to limit the snacking. And if you are out walking, which you probably won't be if you're on a girl's trip or a lad's trip, even try getting a half an hour walk when people are, I don't know, off doing, you know, people just disperse at some point of the day. Some people are going off sunbathing, some people are going off shopping. I mean, if you can get 40 minutes in a day of steps, then so be it. But if you don't, I wouldn't panic, all right? It's 1 week out of 52. It's in the grand scheme of things, it's a drop in the ocean, especially if this is a lifestyle for you. You're going to come home and just get back to your routine, and it's just going to be a drop in the ocean. So, but then there's a second type of holiday, like the family holiday or going on holiday with your other half. And I suppose it's a bit easier to stay on track with these type of holidays because, yeah, you're in a different country, but, you know, you're still with your family, you're still with your other half. Like, the only thing that's going to change is kind of your environment. And you're probably not going to be drinking as excessively as you are when you're with a group of mates. Let's be honest, you're not going to be doing shots in the airport or down in Jager bombs, which I'm mad at, are you? Well, I don't know. Maybe that's something that you're into. But what I would say is you're probably going to have 2 to 3 meals when you're with your other half or your family, 2 to 3 meals a day. Go for the high protein option, you know, at breakfast, lunch and dinner. And if you want to share a pizza, then share a pizza. You are on holiday. Like, it's all about making memories. Like, try not get too obsessed with food while away, because it will start to interfere with your mood and you'll just start stressing yourself out. And don't even take out MyFitnessPal when you're abroad. There's no point. You'll end up stressing yourself out. You'll end up getting too obsessed with calories and stuff, and you know, it'll just suck the fun out of the holiday. Like, just be mindful when it comes to food. Go for the high protein option. Maybe don't go for a pizza for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Can you have one kind of fun meal a day? Yes, of course. And, you know, if you're with your friends and your family, or if it's your family or your other half, you're probably going to be doing a bit more touristy stuff, like going out exploring and stuff and walking, and you're going to get your steps in anyway. And then if not, then, you know, use it as an excuse to get your steps in. Let's go and explore a bit. Let's walk along the beach at sunset. There's so many ways to still get your steps in and keep the good habits intact. And then if you are drinking alcohol, just go for the low calorie ones. I mean, a cocktail at dinner isn't going to kill you. But, you know, the spirits and the calorie-free mixers are going to help massively as well, limit calorie damage. And then, you know, there's obviously gyms in these countries as well. And, you know, you might have one in your hotel. But if you want to go to the gym and it will make you feel better to go to the gym, you know, 2 to 3 times while you're over there, or even twice or once, then do that. But if you don't want to go to the gym, then don't go. It's not going to impact your progress. Again, it's 1 week out of 52. All right. Imagine not going to the gym for 51 weeks and then going to the gym for 1 week. Would it make an impact? Absolutely not. No impact whatsoever. So you have to flip the tables when you think of things like that. Like, what if it was the other way around? Like I always say, you can't gain a pound of fat overnight and you can't lose a pound of fat overnight. It works both ways. But again, if you want to go to the gym, then do. But to be honest, I don't really go to the gym when I'm away. Like, I've probably, if I was at home in Ireland and I was got on a staycation, yeah, I'd probably use the gym. But it can be quite like draining to use the gym in a hot country. I know it doesn't make me feel very well. I just feel a bit weaker because it's so warm. I don't feel as strong. So sometimes I just go for kind of lighter loads if I do go to the gym while I'm abroad in a foreign country, because I'm actually going to a fitness retreat in Portugal at the end of September, and it's literally going to be 5 days of working out, going on hikes and stuff like that. I'm actually really looking forward to go away with a group of people and not drink and enjoy and be present with the warm weather and do something that I enjoy, like working out, going to the gym and being surrounded by other like-minded people. But yeah, I wouldn't stress, if you can't use the gym, don't use it. Like I said, it's not going to make a massive impact. 1 week out of 52 is nothing. So imagine spending 51 weeks of the year eating shit and then 1 week of the year eating well. It's not going to make a difference. Flip the tables whenever you start spiraling. So when you come home, the worst thing you can do is jump on the scale and think, oh my God, I've gained body fat. You are literally carrying water because you've ate more carbohydrates than usual. And like I always say, for every gram of carbs we consume, we hold on to 3 to 4 grams of water, okay? You're just carrying some extra water away, and that will kind of dwindle down as the days go on. You know, from going to the toilet, from drinking more water, you're actually flushing water out of you when you're going to the toilet. And whatever else, like exercise and stuff like that. Like, would I be going on the treadmill for 7 days a week, you know, doing 90 minutes trying to like burn it off? Absolutely not. That's not sustainable. Just carry on with your routine as normal. And if you get home on a Friday, don't have that attitude like, oh, diet starts Monday. Like, this is a lifestyle for you. Wake up on Saturday and just continue as normal with your calorie deficit. It's a bad habit to get into, to, you know, constantly think diet starts Monday. There's no reason why it has to start on Monday. You're back from your holiday now. Saturday and Sunday are 2 normal days. You're back to your normal lifestyle. Get back on track, because what will happen is you'll get to Monday and you'll be that kind of stuck in a rut. You'll start thinking, oh, I'll start tomorrow. And before you know it, a week has gone by. And it's a week where, you know, you could have actually made progress and you didn't. You decided to just take the foot off the pedal. So always get back on track as soon as possible, because it is a bad habit to get into. And the reason why I'm giving this list of advice for being on holiday is to make life easier for yourself when you do get home. Because if you go on holiday and you just completely switch off, eat shit, you know, just spiral out of control, when you get home, it is going to be a lot harder for you to get into a routine, because you've just spent 7 days completely neglecting any of the habits that you've built up over the previous weeks of being in this fat loss phase. And it just makes it harder mentally to get back into it. So kind of being in tune while you're away and being mindful and kind of being conscious, oh wait, I am in a calorie deficit, so I am going to make mindful decisions here. You're still staying in that mindset, okay? So just switching off completely. Yes, we can switch off from work and whatever worries we have at home, but you know, you're still going to be eating while you're on holiday. So it's nice to kind of still stay in tune, but still enjoy yourself at the same time because you are on holiday. So I suppose that kind of sums it up. So the main points to take away from this podcast is exercise, not just for a holiday, like being a deficit, not just for a holiday, but for, you know, if you want to drop body fat, obviously you have to be in a calorie deficit. You're not always going to be in a calorie deficit. You're going to be at maintenance sometimes. You're going to be in a surplus sometimes. But try exercise to prolong your life, to prolong being fit and healthy. Don't just do it to drop body fat for a holiday, okay? There's so many more benefits to exercise and nutrition other than fat loss. And then also, when you're away, just be mindful. Just use your head. Be rational. You're looking at a menu. What's the best option to make here? Should I go for a wagon wheel pizza to eat for one person while I'm in a calorie deficit when I get back home? No. I'll have the chicken fajitas. They're really, really high in protein and it's really, really tasty as well. Or I'll have a chicken wrap, or I'll have like beef fajitas, or I'll have a beef curry, or, you know, something with steak or something like that. And then for breakfast, maybe I'll have an omelette with something, like something with protein in it, something that's not like highly processed or, you know, deep fat fried, etc. Just making mindful options and try not get obsessed with like, I wonder how many calories is in this. If it's high protein and it's been grilled, it's probably moderately clean anyway. But if you want to share a pizza with another family member, then do that. Like, don't be that person at the table. No, sorry, I can't eat this because I'm in a deficit. Like, you can let your hair down a bit while you're on holiday and you're in a deficit, all right? And then obviously just keep the drinks low cal and get your steps in if you can, and go to the gym if you wish. It's not mandatory. Your body might need a break from working out. You could be doing it for 10 weeks and, you know, if it's a 12-week fat loss phase and you go on holiday in week 11, your body might be glad of the rest from the gym, because sometimes it's called the deload week. You either take a complete week off from the gym to give your joints and muscles a rest, or you just half the loads, half the weight that you would usually do in the gym, because our bodies do need time to recover and they do need a break. And you might actually have a spring in your step down when you go back to the gym or when you go back to tracking, etc., with MyFitnessPal. And yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And when you come home, don't panic if you stand on the scale. It's completely normal for it to spike a bit. It's just water weight. You would have to eat, if your calorie deficit was like 1,500 calories, you would have to eat 2,500 calories for 7 days to even put on or even scratch the surface of putting on a pound of actual body fat, okay? So, you know, if you are being mindful, I would say that's very unlikely. So yeah, don't panic if you step on the scale, okay? It's completely normal to put on a bit of water and it will dwindle down as the days go on. And then just get back on track the day after you get home, get back into your routine as soon as possible. And if there's one piece of key information you take away from this podcast, it's, if you look after your body, one day when you need it most, your body will look after you. Trust me. Okay, thanks for tuning in, and I hope you listen to the next podcast.